in election year, the perennial debate arises, which party, Democrats or Republicans, is more beneficial for the stock market and the economy? In the heightened volatility that's typical of these years, it's crucial to explore lesser-known yet significant investing facts that can enhance your strategy. So stay with us. We start right now.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sage.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force for how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade.
We're going to look at election politics and the role they play in possibly, maybe shaping the markets in some way. That is how we open Money Matters USA podcast 151 with Fred Sade, founder and managing director of the firm Money Matters USA, accessible by phone at 800-593-8188 on the site moneymattersusa.net. Fred is a fiduciary, years in the financial industry, holds a PhD in economics from Duke University, and shares a lot of his knowledge and experience with us on this podcast every week. So I know you think of maybe, first off, short-term effects on the markets by a president, for instance. They could say something, and maybe the market's short-term panic seems like they bounce back from that, though. But I think you're looking at this more of a long-term sense and maybe looking at history, too, to see the role that elections could have on the markets.
Yeah, especially in an election year, there's always this debate going on, and the Wall Street and banking pros, you know, make some assumptions, and you get, and investors do, you know, as well. There's, flight to safety, or they want to take advantage of what they perceive as an opportunity, which may exist now, which may disappear, depending on who gets elected. Personally, I don't want to give it away, but I don't think it matters that much who gets elected.
Has it historically mattered at all?
Somewhat. First of all, I mean, there's a lot of watching here about what is the Federal Reserve going to do. And on the other hand, a lot of the major investment houses on Wall Street basically are taking the stance that they don't care what the Federal Reserve is going to do right now. It doesn't mean that they aren't looking at it, but they have their own views on what they're going to do. But the Fed's PCE index, which is the personal consumption index, and this is a key metric for the Fed, because 70% of the American economy is driven by consumption. So this should indicate whether or not the economy is slowing down. There are other measurements that say the economy is slowing down. We know that we have, unfortunately, the Inflation Reduction Act, which was just totally misnamed, caused $1 trillion to be printed. And we have this insane situation where the 90-day Treasury bill is yielding more than the 10-year Treasury bond. The 90-day bill is at 5.24%. So one of the things that people are doing and investors are doing are loading up on these 90-day Treasury bills and keep rolling them, because that's 5.24%. Yeah, right now, depending on the official measurement of inflation, that's a yield that's above the inflation rate. There are higher yields available, but this is a very safe yield. So what do? Do you buy a 90-day treasury, the 10-year treasury bonds at 4.265, as opposed to the 90-day T-bill at 5.24. Makes absolutely no sense, because you're not being rewarded for going out longer duration. Or should you buy a 90-day, or should you buy a gold ETF and do that before the Fed reports on Thursday? We're recording on a Monday. The Fed's going to give us the PCE result on Thursday, so maybe you want to do that. I'm not advocating anything, but I'm saying that it gives you some insight into the mind of of investors and what the thinking is on Wall Street. So if you start to wonder, how does all of this relate to whether a Republican or a Democrat is better for the stock market, or is a Democrat or a Republican? And this goes back and forth, and there's no clear consensus. You do have some studies that suggest that a Democrat might be better, since with Democrats you tend to get more spending, and you do get inflation, and so that may very well goose the annual returns in the stock market when you compare them to a Republican president. The Republican president usually has lower inflation rates as compared to Democrats, usually spend a bit less. Both parties do like to spend. There's no question about that, especially in an election year. There's an article in last week's Wall Street Journal in the op-ed section, in the opinion section. And the article was kind of disturbing, but what it did is go into great detail on the proposition that when the servicing of the national debt is greater than the cost that can be spent, the money spent on national defense, that country, that empire, is destroyed. And it goes into voluminous detail proving that assertion. So we seem to be constrained right now on what we can manage to spend on defense. The other problem that we have is that the national debt is being rolled over by Secretary Yellen every 90 days, and that's keeping that difference up at the front end of the curve. And I don't know if she's hoping that somehow magically the Fed will get it right, or that the Fed's policies cumulatively will cause the longer-term Treasury bonds to drop, and then she can shift debt to a longer term. If you had to do a consensus, the consensus generally is that Democratic presidents produce, or at least connected, I shouldn't say produce, because there's really, it's hard to find that there's correlation or causality between Democrats and higher stock market returns and better economic growth, or that Republican presidents have lesser stock market performance and lesser economic growth. The only thing that the studies show is that, particularly the S&P 500, is Democrats tend to have better stock market growth than Republican presidents do. Now, this could be inflation generated because Democrat presidents tend to spend more than Republican presidents. Now, I haven't had an opportunity to test that theory to see if I can prove that or disprove that one way or the other. But as you point out, presidents have very complicated relationships with the economy, with the stock market, and there's a lot going on. So that to just bring it down to a very simple question, which party is better for the markets, is really basically an oversimplification. There just could be so many other things that are going on in terms of trends or other correlations. It's hard to just be so overly broad that says one party is better and one party is not. And the only thing I can say is that economists are still divided about the impact of the Inflation Reduction Act, but they're starting to come around to what I just said, that it was $1 trillion of money that the country didn't have and was printed in order to fund various programs. So we really have to see, what the impact of inflation and economic growth will be and how that's impacted by government.
Is it more policies that the markets sway elections as opposed to elections swaying the markets?
No, the markets make assumptions about elections and about which party is better for them. But
the economy certainly can affect an election.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. What we're seeing is that some of the Wall Street heavyweights, which generally have supported Democrats and been rewarded by market performance, but some of those heavyweights are now supporting the Republicans. So this is tune in and wait and see. What happens here? As we came out of the pandemic, inflation started under Trump, but not to the extent that President Biden is alleging. But from the end of the pandemic to where we are right now, it's about a 32% increase overall and end on end in inflation. And what we are seeing is a reduction in wage pressure or wage prices, and that makes it, and workers don't have as much power to force an increase in wages. So J.P. Morgan came out with a phrase last week. I had to look it up just to make sure I understood what it meant, but they said that that there is a split recession in the economy, and what they're saying is that the higher end, more affluent people and the affluent are enjoying unprecedented prosperity right now, and then people who are lower middle class workers, they are in recession right now, having enormous difficulty in making ends meet.
Actually, we're going to kind of touch on that, aren't we, a little bit in the second segment coming up. Here's the interesting too, just looking at history, as I've read a little bit on it, the history of the relationship between Pennsylvania Avenue and Wall Street, and it's been about an even mix of Republicans and Democrats. I mean, at least going back to, I think this one thing I was reading went back to the 20s, and it really showed that it didn't have that much effect long term.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because the markets move, to their own beat, and there are things that are inherent in how they actually perform, and government policy. Politics, political changes, those are non-diversifiable risks. Mm-hmm. And there's just not much you can do about it doesn't mean that people don't try, as I indicated a few minutes ago. But that's an undiversifiable risk. So when we're looking at scenarios, we're looking at realistic scenarios. We look at actions of government, our government right now, Chinese government, Iranian government, Russian government, to see what their impacts, you know, are going mm-hmm. to be, and then what the impact is going to be on your portfolios and how you know if you benefit or if you lose, and what your range is going to be, and then what you might want to do in order to reduce the amount of risk that's inherent in the positions that you are holding. Some people will take the position and it's a valid one that stocks will outperform in the long run, and so there, if you've got the assets for it and you're perfectly willing to wait and ride it out, that's fine. If you're 30, 40 years of age, it's perfectly fine. Gosh, I'm losing my voice today. That frog is still there.
I still read on the forecast where this is pollen is high certain days.
Yeah.
And I guess it depends on that pine pollen goes away in the spring eventually, but we're still dealing with pollen, though.
Yeah, and my car isn't as badly covered as it was a couple of weeks ago. It was just covered solid yellow.
Oh, really? Still dealing with that, huh? The yellow pine pollen.
Yeah.
One thing about Wall Street, this is just a layperson observation. Wall Street seems to be short-term panicky and long-term logical, like in our subject matter, realizing that the president, it's a powerful position, but it's not autonomous. I mean, there are, thank goodness, there's a system of checks and balances in place.
Yeah, in the long run, equities will perform. It's just a question of, it becomes a question of people's perspectives and what they are willing to do and what they are not willing to do. I mean, those are the fundamental issues, and those have been studied repeatedly. Blanchett just came out with another one of these studies in which he's a co-author. In terms of what people will do and what they, won't do, you're not going to find somebody that's 85 years of age going to put 100% of their assets into equities. on the mathematical formulas, mathematical equations, on the performance of the market, equities in the long run, that might make sense, but nobody in their right mind is going to do that. So it becomes a question of how much you want to be exposed to the market and how much you don't want to be exposed to the market. And it doesn't matter, unless you're worth $6 billion or something like that. But if you're talking about somebody that's worked very hard, they have $1 million or $2 million. If they lose $100,000 on $2 million, life is not going to change. If they lose 50-60% on $2 million, and they're looking at $1 million or they're looking at $600,000, life is very different at $600,000 than it is at $2 million.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I'll tell you how on this subject matter, because I know Fred knows that no matter who wins the White House or any other elections, the economic and financial show must go on. Steady as she goes with your plan, 800-593-8188 to reach out to Fred, 800-593-8188. Take a quick break here. Fred, we're going to change the subject up. How will we do that for the next segment?
Well, we want to talk about some things that are not immediately obvious, but there are people who, contrary to what you hear, on TV or what you read in the paper, some folks have done very nicely
okay.
Right now.
We'll break that down coming up.
hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, and fire.
These are serious situations that we plan in advance for. The volatility of the market can be just as devastating. Get a plan meant to last, properly balanced, fully customized. That way, when a market correction does occur, you'll be ready. Call Fred Sade at 800-593-8188. That's 800-593-8188.
We're back with Money Matters USA. In addition to that number, 800-593-8188, you can also reach out to Fred at his website, moneymattersusa.net, where you can also, if you click podcast, hear at your leisure and on demand the other 150 podcasts. Just a great variety of topics discussed here on this podcast that drops every Friday. And you can also, and should, click the Red Light Program tab. Learn about the Red Light on the Dashboard program and how Fred can talk to you about implementing that in a custom fashion. Again, that's moneymattersusa.net. Now, Fred is really big on getting this information out that he knows is important, and not just through this podcast. You were just telling me about some articles you've written lately, and they are available on your newsletter. Can you tell us how we can reach that?
Yeah, just log into LinkedIn, and you can go to my newsletter, which is called Retirement Insight, you'll see the article that I wrote that goes into more detail about what we just spoke about in the previous segment. And I also had some other things I was thinking about last night. Mm-hmm. So you can find the blog post. Some comments that I also made about correlation that's going on in the market right now about and some of the volatility and again in relation to the election mm-hmm. and debates and all the other things that take up airtime in the 24/7 news cycle and. Just fill the airwaves, and so we try to make some sense out of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know sometimes that's not always easy. Definitely, you kind of alluded to the topic matter of this segment earlier because I mean we've talked a lot on the podcast accurately about challenges in the market, volatility. We've been dealing with inflation, but not all the news is bad. Can you break that down for us, Fred?
Yeah, people who participate in 401k plans or, 457s or anything which has a market component have done very well as long as you have been invested, particularly in the S&P or in momentum-driven alternatives, whether it's mutual funds or ETFs, and some of the target date funds have done very nicely. So you've seen your portfolios fatten up on this. And Vanguard says that there's been quite an increase, around a 27% difference, which they argue have been experienced by people, I guess, in their portfolios. And, people should take advantage, if they can, on this market. These kinds of markets don't last forever. And while I think people have pretty well discounted the probability of a recession, on the other hand, there's a lot of thinking that maybe what we're seeing is very similar to what's been seen in previous centuries. The tulip mania, for example, because people look and see that the market, the growth in the market is very narrow. I mean, it's financial technology and biotech. And you can find winners, but you really have to look hard to do that. And some people are finding opportunities, and the mid caps, small caps, have really been beaten up. There is opportunity, and people should take advantage of opportunities. It's also safe alternatives because the interest rates are high. There's enormous amounts of money sitting in money market funds right now, undeployed, just sitting in money market funds. And the Federal Reserve can do something about that if it's so inclined, because it does pretty well control the short-term interest rates. Anything up to 2 years can influence, and on a 90-day, they control that. And so they can make the money market funds an untenable situation if they choose that. And if you can save, you should. You should put money aside, treat it as a bill that you pay to yourself, and save the money. Start out small. It's not the amount that you ultimately, it's just getting into that habit. I mean, even if it's only $1 a week, and then you want to increase that as you can. If you, win $250 on a scratch-off lottery, don't spend it. Don't celebrate. Don't go to help Kelsey's bar, and buy a round for the house.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You mentioned, though, and I will say, though, Fred, you got to give to the tulip its proper respect. It had a good run from 1634 to 1637. But you did mention some disparity here in the good times.
Yeah. That's a concern for some people. Some people have pulled out of the markets. They're in the short-term treasuries, those 90-day bills. Others have money in money markets. Others have money in multi-year guarantee annuities. Those are paying high rates of interest, including the quality companies, companies that survived the Depression of the 1930s and survived the meltdown in 2007, 2008. There were some even older companies that survived the Spanish flu after World War, during and after World War One. I mean, so there's a solid core of companies, out there and paying high rates of interest, comparatively speaking, higher than CD rates. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't, have money in CDs, and just saying that there are, other alternatives will give you a rate that beats the inflation rate. And that's what you're looking for. What is the risk-free rate? And if you can find the risk-free rate, and they're easy to find, above the inflation rate, then it makes sense. And if you can find a risk-free rate better than 5%, it's an argument against taking a lot of risk in the equity market. And that's something that people should consider. I don't mind being redundant about this. We do have a savings crisis in the country, and people don't save enough money to replace the income that they will need once they enter retirement, where there's no more income coming in. And I see people, some of whom I know, from business or socially or what have you, have gone back to work because they've lived longer than they ever thought they would. And they were running out of money, and the inflation didn't help them. So, there is a gap between the new replacement rate and the money that people need in retirement. And that's another problem, because people don't always want to think about this, it's a long week. You work hard. You're tired, and now you want me to sit down and start having conversations with you about retirement planning. Oh gosh, I'd rather not. I'd rather sleep, do recreational activities. Mm-hmm. I'll do it next week. And next week comes, I'll do it next week, and it doesn't get done. So mm-hmm. it's really important that if you haven't done it, you should do it. And you really should do two things. One is decide what your money, what you want your money to do for you, and number, and the second thing is you need to decide what it is you want retirement planner to do for you. Decide that needs to be decided, because it's not enough. It's not enough to say I'll do it myself, because you're not a full time. You don't do that full time. You're working. And maybe you're working one job, maybe you're working two jobs. And maybe you've got kids in college, so maybe you're working three jobs, and your wife's working. So when are you gonna do it yourself? You're not. You don't have the knowledge or the expertise to do it. And the decision that you have to make then is just what I said. What do you want your money to do for you? Because you can make that decision, you can have control. And two, what is it that you want from a planner, from a retirement planner like me? Because there is a difference between an accumulation planner and a retirement planner. We are doing different things, and our concepts are different, and our yardsticks, our measuring rods, are completely different. And you can't do both. You either do one or the other, and that's not knocking anybody, but it's a different, and you know, accountants specialize, doctors specialize, engineers specialize. Specialization is what we have today. There's just too much knowledge out there. Nobody can know everything. Nobody can be that knowledgeable, and you just got to remember that you only know what you know. There's a lot that you don't know. Some of that may not be harmful, but some of it can be very harmful. You don't want to be in a position where you're willfully being harmful and harming yourself.
No, and I love the approach that Fred talks about, that he takes individually with everyone, because everyone is different. So, and that comes after that initial review that you can schedule with Fred. And again, to do that, and wherever you are listening to the podcast, 800-593-8188. 800-593-8188. At MoneyMattersUSA.net, not only can you access the other 150 podcasts, and we have a write-up on each, but there's a drop-down there for Stump the Guru if you want to get a question to Fred and try to stump him on a future podcast. That's Stump the Guru. Click the podcast tab, MoneyMattersUSA.net. And still remains an interesting 2024. Fred's going to follow it and beyond right here. And we drop these every Friday. Money Matters USA.
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.